Chapter 5 Lost. Gritty eyes blinked at the ceiling, seeing nothing of the plain white paint as he struggled to master the pain. The day had slipped away, a march of agonizing hours, and now evening had wrapped the world in its shadow. Ed's fingernails dug into his palm, minor hurts in a world filled to the horizon with agony. Every breath made his chest feel as though it were full of barbed wire, cutting and cleaving into his flesh. More than once he had regretted his impulsive refusal of the medication that could have brought peaceful oblivion. But that was not what he was looking for. He was not about to settle for an easy cruise into death. The gate had done this to him. His faith in that was unshakable, as though the portal itself had told him such. The thought of it made him seethe. It was unfair, and he couldn't believe he had fallen for it. All this time he had been trying to deny it, and trying to convince himself that, for once, he had come off better from an encounter with the gate. Instead, it had played tricks on him. Al insisted that it was an object, not a creature. If that were true, then it would not be possible for it to cheat or show any cunning. Yet Ed remembered the words that had echoed in his mind, and the deep, dark intelligence beyond those doors. It was cold, bitter, and malicious. Worst of all, he felt that he was being toyed with. It was as though he were fated to return to its threshold time and again, where he would challenge it and somehow lose more than he realized. Grimacing, he propped himself up on his elbows, letting his muscles acclimatize to the strain of his weight. Even now, brought so low so suddenly, he knew one fact for certain. If this was what it had truly cost to get Al's body back, then it was worth it. He doubted that there was any price too great for that. However, just because he was willing to pay it did not make it a balanced trade. It sickened him to know that so much of his life had been molded by the dictates of equivalent exchange. But the gate, the guardian of that fundamental scripture, failed to follow it. How many times had they been punished, and how much had they lost? Well, he was not going to settle for it this time. There was no way that he would simply lie down and accept the fate in store. A weak smile crossed his lips as he realized that he had never been one to accept the cards he was dealt. When things did not go his way, he changed them, and damn anyone or anything that tried to get in his way. Slowly, Ed managed to sit up fully, wincing as nausea sunk into his stomach and the room swam. Gradually, the sickness faded, and he was left with a dull ache in his chest that had nothing to do with what was happening to his body. Al had been desperate, pleading with him not to face the gate again. He spoke with the voice of common sense, the calm logic to Ed's furious emotion, but it made no difference to his ultimate decision. He knew that if he failed, then there was more at stake than his own life. He and his brother might be as different as passive night and torrid day, but the bond they shared was unbreakable. If Ed did not return, then he suspected that Al would waste away trying to find the means to retrieve him. "That's why I can't fail." His whispered declaration echoed in the room, absorbed by the dusk. It was a strong promise, and although there was only the sparse furniture to bear witness, Ed knew that it was one he would not break. He had been through too much to be stopped by this. He would face what was happening to him, and he would find a way to get what was his returned. He wanted his life back, all of it, and he was not about to settle for anything less. Damn equivalent exchange, and damn the gate of truth. He would find a way to take it by force if he had to. It had taken every ounce of cajoling to get Al to leave with the nurses. His younger brother was in desperate need of sleep, but had refused to leave Ed's side. Only when he had secured Edward's promise that he would not seek the gate tonight did he finally relent. Now he was probably resting in a spare bed not far away, and Ed suspected that he did not have too long before Al returned. Delicately, he swung his feet over the side of the mattress, letting his shaking legs take his weight. Clinging to the wall, he stumbled towards the chair and grabbed his clothes. They had dried out at some point, and the black t-shirt and leather pants were reassuringly familiar when he put them on. His coat had been left covering a body in an alleyway, and he sighed at its absence. The crimson fall had become a trademark for him. He'd transmuted it and repaired it as he had gained height and breadth, and now he felt naked without it. Glancing around the room, Ed grabbed the discharge forms. He had signed them as soon as the doctor had left, knowing that the old man held little hope of him taking the rest that he had recommended. Ed had become a master at pushing discomfort aside and deeming it irrelevant. Now he was doing the same thing, and although the sensations that racked his body were persistent, they could be ignored. They had to be. He remembered the feeling of a warm hand brushing his face. That touch had taken the pain away, if only for a moment. He could recall hearing someone demanding that a nurse was found, and he had vaguely recognized the no-arguments tone that Roy often employed. A tight grip on his hand had been an anchor to reality, and he recalled concentrating on the feel of hot, dry skin in his palm until he had finally been able to drag his eyes open. Mustang had looked at him with such relief that Ed wondered if he was still dreaming. There was no smugness or condescension in his expression. Instead, his bloodshot eyes had closed in a silent prayer of thanks, and his fingers had slackened their grip a touch. Edward frowned in thought at the memory. Roy's presence had made him feel warm and safe. It had been as though nothing mattered because he was there, and he would put everything right again. It was an illusion, of course. Even Mustang wasn't that powerful. But for the first time in ages, Ed had felt as if he had really mattered to someone other than Al. Then he had just walked away. The doctor had asked to speak to Ed alone, and Roy had not returned. Glancing at the doorway, Ed wondered why his chest felt so strange. A heavy flutter stirred under his ribcage, and he scowled as he realized it felt like deep disappointment. That couldn't be right. It didn't matter to him whether Roy stayed or went, or where the man was now. This strange sensation had to be something else, like a mild heart attack or something. Bastard, he grouched, knowing that he missed Mustang's presence despite his arguments. The man gave him strength and confidence, although he'd never tell him that. He's not hard on the eyes, either, Ed muttered to himself, feeling the phantom memory of Roy's tender touch on his cheek. With a grunt, Ed wiped the feeling away, letting a dark scowl cross his brow as he straightened the sheets on the bed automatically. He was just picking up his pocket watch when a stack of parchments by the bed caught his eye. Shezka's neat handwriting was instantly recognizable, and he grabbed the top page and read it through. She had written everything she could find about the history of the Five Graves robbed, and even summarized her conclusions. Her organizational talents were unparalleled, and Ed wondered if she ever did anything except read. It was impossible to imagine her drinking at a bar or taking a walk. Skimming quickly through the documents, he rubbed his hand over his eyes, wondering how he could be so tired when he had slept for so long. It was tempting to get back into bed and simply rest, but he forced himself away from the tempting cradle of the mattress. He got the distinct feeling that if he lay down, he would never get up again. The reports were fairly simple, but did not reveal a great deal. The occupants of the graves had been different genders, ages, and rank. They had come from different backgrounds, and there were 3 years between the first death and the last. At first, it looked as though they were random events, and it was only Shezka's last sentence that proved any link between them. Each occupant of the graves had been murdered. What the hell? Ed mumbled to himself, tapping his foot on the floor as he read through it again. Not even the murderers were the same. The only commonality was the simple fact that they had all been slain by someone else's hand, and not on the front line of a battlefield. Wearily, he shook the thoughts away, pocketing the reports and moving towards the door. He'd hand the findings back to Mustang in the morning. Right now, he had more important things to do. Feeling more like a common criminal than an invalid, Ed eased open one of the double doors to his room and peered into the corner beyond. The fluorescent lights cast the place into stark relief, offering no shadows in which he could skulk. He was going to have to make a break for it and hope that no one questioned him. Of course, he knew the hospital was not a prison, but he would rather just leave than have to bear a lecture from the medical staff. He walked as quickly as he could, trying not to limp as the ports around his limbs seethed. The metal weight of his automail was pulling hard on his weakened body, and he clutched his arm to his chest to ease the fire in his shoulder. Dismissively, he tossed the forms onto the nurse's empty workstation, not breaking stride as he left the infirmary and came out the main doors of Central Command. Despite the hour, the passageways were still busy with personnel. Twice, Ed had to double back to avoid a familiar face, and he realized with growing irritation that it would not take long for word to reach Mustang about his departure. If he was not careful, then he would be collared and hauled to the office without even getting out to the fresh air. Slipping in and out among the bustle, he tried to remain inconspicuous. People here were used to his presence, and no one looked twice at his bare automail arm or the scar on his forehead. Still, if asked, he knew they would be able to remember seeing him. Biting his lip nervously, he muffled a curse as Fahlman stepped out of an office up ahead. Thankfully, the tall man did not walk his way, and Ed quickly took the next available right. After what felt like hours of navigating his way through the twisting corridors of the command building, he slipped out of a side door, closing it and leaning against its solid bulk as he slumped in relief. His body was keening with agony, and a feverish sweat prickled his brow and upper lip. Ed wished he had the luxury of taking the doctor's orders and staying in bed. All he wanted to do was sleep. But he didn't have the time. The physician said that, if he was lucky, there was a month of life left in him. At worst, he could be dead by dawn. Taking in a great lungful of air, Ed held his breath, forcing himself not to cough as his chest twitched and burned. He might be ill, but whatever this condition was, he was not its slave. If he had control over it, then he could carry on, at least for now. The cool evening smelled of rain, and the parade ground was still dappled with puddles. Stiffly, at first, he began to walk, skirting the pools of light cast by the street lamps. Darkness had taken the city, seeping through the streets in the wake of the day. Easily, he picked his way across the square, following his familiar path towards the library, a few blocks away. He had to find out all he could about the gate. Somewhere in there would be an explanation of the way it worked, and why it took far more than it gave in return. He and Al had conducted endless research, but it had all been focused on the belief that the gate abided by equivalent exchange. They had never concentrated on the portal itself. Out from under the curious gaze of security, Ed let some of the tension fade from his frame. It felt better to be doing something. The torment that clutched his body eased its grip when his mind was occupied with another goal. Perhaps practice at ignoring the pain had paid off. The urge to cough faded into an irritating tickle, and the burden of his body gradually seemed to lift. Looking absently to his left, Ed frowned, seeing the melancholy testimony of the cemetery. The robbed graves had been filled in, but there were still muddy scars on the green of the grass. At least if his confrontation with the gate failed him, then he would not be buried. It would take him all, mind, body, and spirit. Somehow, that very act seemed preferable to his organic remains being left under the ground to rot. A flicker of light in the distance made him stop. There were no guards in the cemetery, and it was too late for any kind of ceremony. A halo of yellow surrounded a lamp which swayed gently, as though held in an unsteady hand. The darkness of the graveyard was too dense to make anything out other than vague outlines, but it did seem suspicious. Narrowing his eyes curiously, he weighed his options. He could continue on to the library, or he could investigate the unexpected presence amidst the tombs. With an irritated sigh, he shook his head and began to walk away. It was not his concern anymore. Someone else could deal with the grave robberies. His own life was at risk, and he was not about to be distracted by one unsolved mystery. An image of Hughes flashed in his mind. Green eyes bright with laughter, and hair dark falling across his forehead. Ed's stomach lurched at the memory of the man who had always been there to help him. It was enough to sway his decision. His life may be long gone, but Gracia and Alicia both deserved some kind of closure about what had happened to the graves. So did he, for that matter. The library would still be there in an hour. It wouldn't take long. It was probably just a grieving relative sobbing at the graveside of a loved one. As soon as he knew for sure, then Ed would be on his way. He pushed the gate open, grateful that the oiled hinges gave away nothing of his presence. Instinctively, he shifted his balance onto the balls of his feet and crept along in a half-crouch, a faint shadow flitting through the darkness. If whoever was robbing graves was collecting the bodies of murder victims, then the military cemetery offered a good supply. The five that had already been taken certainly weren't the only ones. Amstris had its fair share of coups and assassinations. They all carried a death toll. Besides, there was more to this than petty theft. Ed didn't like to let a mystery go unsolved. Mustang had given him this assignment personally. It was not officially in their jurisdiction. And it was plainly obvious that working on this was a favor to everyone in the office. If he died without discovering the truth, then perhaps they would never know what had become of Hughes's grave. A grim smile of frail humor crossed Ed's lips. Wasn't there some superstition about people with unfinished business coming back as ghosts? The idea did hold some appeal. He could annoy Fury by hiding all the pens in the office, and drive Hawkeye to insanity by reorganizing the filing. Another thought crossed his mind, turning the smile into a smirk. He could spy on a certain Brigadier General in the shower. A twig snapped beneath his boots, gunshot loud in his ears as it echoed off the gravestones. He froze. Every muscle locked tight as the blood in his veins turned to ice. He expected a shout, or for the gloom-shrouded figures ahead of him to run. But they seemed not to hear. Ed silently berated himself for letting his mind wander. It would serve him right if he was caught. With great care, he forced himself to focus, blocking out everything except the people in his vision. He ignored the sensation of the cool wind dragging fingers over his cheek and the chill bite of his automail. The moonlight was obscured by tattered cloud, creating a scattered, pearly light across the tombstones. It was ethereal and quiet. It would have been beautiful if it weren't so damn spooky. Someone up ahead swore bitterly, and Ed discarded the idea of a grieving relative. It was a curse of frustration, not sadness. He pressed his bare hand to the bark of the yew tree, letting its broad shape conceal him as he peered around, analyzing the situation. Two men were already in the grave up to their chests, and one hovered at its lip. The lantern light flickered on his face, and Ed recognized the thug from the alley. His face was terse, and he kept looking around as though expecting the vengeful dead to leap out at him and strike him down for his crimes. The wind moaned in the branches above Ed's head. He shivered at the same time that the man gave a whimper of fright. The two in the grave also looked around, one drawing a cross over his torso as though to ward off evil spirits. each wore a gold ring on their middle finger. But Ed doubted that one of them was the leader, Vivus Nix. They were nothing but toughs following orders. They were expendable. And Ed would bet a month's wages that they knew it. There was a hollow thud as one of the shovels hit the lid of the coffin, and one of them mumbled something to the guy with the eye patch. As Ed watched, he trotted off, and an engine rumbled into life. It came from beyond the cemetery fence. Ed raised an eyebrow as the two men liberated the casket from its mud-filled resting place and lifted it onto their shoulders. "Watch it," one of them grunted. "It's rotting through. Last thing we want is corpse slime all over the place." His partner shuddered, visibly nauseated, as they slowly ambled away, leaving the yawning mouth of the sepulchre behind them. Ed waited until they were almost out of sight before abandoning his hiding place and creeping forward. They moved awkwardly, staggering from side to side under the weight of the coffin as they made their way towards one of the smaller gates in the fence. Its hinges squealed loudly as they eased through, and they left it hanging open as they departed. Ducking behind one of the shrubs that lined the edge of the graveyard, Ed peered through its branches and swore in surprise. The coffin had been loaded into the back of a hearse. Flowers covered its lid and sides, hiding the disintegrating wood from any passers-bys. All of the grave robbers wore black, and one drew out a battered top hat and perched it rakishly on his head. No one would look too closely at a hearse, even one driving at night. It would slip through the streets unnoticed, and they could keep coming back again and again. Even in a military graveyard, it did not look out of place. Slowly, the vehicle set off, using the somber, creeping speed of funeral cars everywhere. Quickly, Ed turned up his collar and shoved his hands in his pockets. He let his body relax into a comfortable slouch as he darted through the gate. Strolling along the pavement, he made sure to stay well back from the car, occasionally turning down side streets and rejoining the main road later on. All the while, the men remained oblivious, just as he had hoped. One smoked a cigarette out of the half-open window, filling the air with sweet tobacco smoke. Ed watched as they pulled to a stop outside a dilapidated building. Its brickwork was crumbling, and the high windows were pocked with cracks and holes. Over the door, in peeling paint, was written, "Peavy's Funeral Directors." It looked like they had been out of business for some time, but the half-rotten double doors opened silently to admit the hearse, which vanished into the shadows. Whether it was still running or not, the business was the perfect front for dealing in grave goods. Whoever was behind this thought it out with care. It was obviously not an amateur operation. Ed watched the warehouse from the other side of the street, trying to make up his mind what to do next. He could report to Mustang and let an investigation squad clear things up. But it was only his word on what he'd seen. He had no proof that this was the headquarters of the grave robbers. For all they knew, they were transferring the casket to another vehicle and moving on. He had to confirm that this was their base. Once he knew that, then he could hand it off with confidence and let someone else deal with the problem. Jogging across the road, he skirted the periphery of the building, looking for another way in. Whoever owned this place kept the grounds clean. There was nothing he could pile up to reach the high windows, and all the back doors were securely locked and in good condition. With a quick glance over his shoulder, Ed quietly clapped his hands together and pressed them to the wall, smirking as a set of steps formed. Clambering his way to the top was painful and took him longer than he would have liked, but he got there in the end. As silently as he could, he knocked the jagged teeth of glass out of the frame before pulling himself up. No streetlights shone at his back, letting him slip inside under the cover of darkness. A remaining fragment of glass snagged his palm as he twisted and hung from the windowsill. There was nothing beneath him that he could feel, and Ed swallowed tightly before letting go. He dropped gracefully to the floor, bending his knees to absorb the noise of his uninterrupted fall. Darkness pressed in from all sides, The weak trickle of moonlight showed him nothing but the most basic of squat shapes, and he reached out his hands blindly. His questing fingertips found damp wood caked in mud, and he realized that they must have stacked the coffins here. Taking a deep breath of the dank air, he reached inside one, breathing a sigh of relief when he felt nothing more gruesome than rotting timber. Something chimed beneath his touch, and he pulled it out of the casket, holding it up to the weak light. A pair of grubby spectacles winked back at him, agonizingly intact. He recognized them instantly as maces. He had seen the man clean them enough times. It was odd, after all this time, to see something that belonged to him. Without thinking about it, Ed carefully slipped them into his pocket. The purr of the hearse engine died suddenly, and he realized, with a sinking sensation, that he was in one of the storerooms. If they emptied their latest hull and brought it in here, then he would be found in no time. As quickly as he could, he felt his way over to the door, pressing his ear to listen for noises beyond. "Tonight was the last one. We can finally complete our task." The door swung a crack open at Ed's touch, allowing him to peer through and into the warehouse beyond. Once, it had probably been full of stone for the grave markers, and chunks of granite and marble were still stacked in haphazard mountains against the walls. The center had been cleared to expose the concrete floor, and he could make out the curving lines of a massive array. In its center was a gruesome assortment of remains, and the choking scent of decaying flesh made Ed's eyes water. He tried not to splutter, clamping a hand over his mouth to keep the smell at bay. One of the grave robbers turned away from the pile, gagging dryly. The other two were pale, but seemed to be keeping their calm as they surveyed their find with a critical eye.
"What should we do?"
one of them asked. His back was towards Ed's hiding place, but his voice was rank with reluctance. Whoever he was, he had his suspicions about what was being done, and Edward knew that he would be too distracted to notice anything flitting among the shadows. He opened the door wide enough to dart through, taking refuge behind a stack of granite slabs and crouching in their skulking shadow. No one cried out for him to stop or charged over to grab him. He had got away with it, for now.
"Just stay here and watch," a woman sauntered into view, tapping the thug on the end of the nose with an elegant finger and tossing a mocking smile over her shoulder. "Another hour and it will all be over."
"And our money?"
the one with the eye patch demanded, crossing his arms and looking from the gruesome pile to the youthful face of the woman. She let out a musical peal of laughter, which would have been pleasant if it weren't so patronizing.
"You'll get what's coming to you."
It was a purr of a promise, and Ed narrowed his eyes in disbelief. Whatever the men were going to get for their efforts, it was not going to be money. They weren't amateurs, and yet they behaved as if they had been wrapped around her little finger. They did not question her authority, despite outnumbering her. She was a petite woman, and her face was devoid of any signs of age. She could have been younger than Ed, or older than Mustang. There was simply no way to tell. Her hair fell in a sleek brown swathe down her back. Thin lips painted crimson were twisted into a meaningless smile, and there was a distinctly feral expression on her face. She gesticulated with her right hand, and Ed noticed that each slender finger was adorned with a gold ring like the one he had found. With a crook of her finger, one man was tugged towards her. He didn't even struggle as she smiled in satisfaction and beckoned him closer to the bones. The rings had to be powerful to hold anyone captive like that. Yet Ed felt nothing. Perhaps they had to be touching flesh to have an effect. Suddenly, the woman turned, looking directly at his hiding place with cold, gray eyes. Heat flashed in his pocket, burning painfully into his leg. He barely managed to stifle a yelp as she curled her thumb down, increasing the heat tenfold.
Since Victor, the owner of that ring in your pocket, is dead and unlikely to return to us, then I assume we have a stranger in our midst." Her voice was joyful, and Ed felt a bead of sweat trickle down his back as the heat vanished. He could hear the steady tap of her heels on the floor as she approached, and he grimaced as she laughed again.
"Well, you're just in time to join us. I'm sure you'll be very useful."
A click of her fingers and the three men moved like puppets on strings, graceless and awkward.
"Why not come out peacefully? It would save us all so much trouble."
Her voice echoed strangely, as though several people spoke through one pair of lips. It made his head ache and set his teeth on edge, but the thugs at her side seemed hypnotized by her words. There was not much choice, Ed realized. His back was to the wall, and he was hemmed in on all sides by stacks of stone taller than he was. In a few moments they would have him cornered. He could not run, but he sure as hell could fight. A grim smile crossed his lips, and he clapped his palms together before pressing them to the stack. A bolt of alchemy shot through them, sending dust and fragments flying in all directions as the power ripped through the air. The noise shook the building, unsettling more slabs of rock and sending them spilling down onto the floor in a gritty cacophony. The men panicked. One was killed almost instantly, his head caved in by flying stone. The other was pinned by one of the cascades, groaning as he struggled madly to free his shattered legs. Only the one with the eye patch remained unharmed, and when he recognized the state alchemist causing the destruction, he roared in fury.
"You!"
Ed lunged out of the way as the man pulled out a knife, sending it flying through the air with deadly accuracy. It snagged Ed's t-shirt, tearing the fabric across his shoulder and clattering away into the darkness, to be lost among the rubble. A quick stab nearly caught him, and Ed ducked aside, stepping back pace for pace as his assailant stalked forward. The man's one eye was wild and barely human. Sweat streaked the grime on his face, and his muscles danced in twitches. Behind him, Ed could see the woman watching, a disgusting expression of glee on her face. Something silver darted in front of Ed's eyes, and he felt a welt of pain across his cheek. Blood dripped from his chin, smattering onto the floor as he stumbled backwards. His illness was making him weak. He could feel it clouding his mind and draining his strength. Beneath his boot, the ground changed, and he looked down to see that both he and the man with the eye patch had entered the array. Forcing his legs to move, he danced out of the way. He could not perform alchemy inside the circle. If he touched the ground, then he would probably activate it. Even transmuting his automail could trigger the design, and it was not something that he wanted to risk. With a feral grin of his own, he lunged forward, taking the man off balance and gripping his wrist. His automail fingers crushed mercilessly, and the thug howled in pain as the knife clattered to the floor. A swift kick sent it skidding away towards the circumference of the array. When it reached the boundary, a hiss of alchemical energy arched into the air, stopping it dead. Nothing could cross the circle, and Ed swore viciously as the man in his grip struggled against him. They were both trapped.
"Well, well, well,"
the woman murmured, pressing her finger thoughtfully to her chin as she sauntered into the array. The power parted like silk, brushing along her skin harmlessly as she approached.
"The Full Metal Alchemist. I'm honored. Of course, when I stole the remains of Mace Hughes, I had hoped to lure Roy Mustang himself here. But I think you are a much greater prize. Besides, any powerful alchemist will work for what I have in mind."
She crooked her finger again, and the man with the eye patch went slack. His breath rattled in his throat, bubbling viciously as he clawed at his neck. In moments, his cheeks were white and his lips a frosty blue. He pitched forward to the floor, dead. Ed remained silent, letting the tension coil in his muscles as the woman stepped in front of him, raising her hand to brush his cheek. Deliberately, he pulled away, his eyes narrowing coldly as she smiled.
So young! Only just a man, and yet here you are, the hero of the people. Your reputation precedes you.
He was on guard, prepared for her to make any move and give him an excuse to lash out. Up close, her eyes looked cold and dead, and he felt his skin crawl as he spoke through gritted teeth. Yours doesn't. Her lips twisted into a sneer of disgust, and she shook her head.
I'm no state alchemist. They wanted me, of course, but I have other plans.
She bent her three middle fingers down to her palm, and Ed stepped back in disgust as the bodies of the men slid over the floor towards the pile of remains. Vivid trails of blood slashed across the stone. But she paid it no mind as she clasped her hands in front of her and smiled benignly.
Plans that now include you, Edward.
Before Ed had a chance to respond, something slammed into his back, icy and cold. The agony he had been trying to keep at bay swept back full force, and his spine twisted to try and evade it. Hot, coppery blood filled his mouth, dripping from between his lips as he fell to his knees. A lithe hand shot out and gripped his hair, yanking his head upwards and pressing a knife blade to the column of his throat. He struggled, trying to pull himself to his feet and away from her. But the pain was too strong. It twisted between his ribs, writhing like a live thing and locking him in place. Her fingers gently traced the throbbing line of his pulse, and he managed a growl of fury as she pressed her lips to his neck.
It is a shame to waste you, but it must be done.
She pressed the blades downwards, slicing into his pulse point and sighing contentedly as his blood began to pour across his skin. He clutched at the wound, feeling it gush against his palm. He could not see, could barely breathe. Every beat of his heart was killing him, and his mind was darkening as his body lost its fight. He wanted to swear or lash out, but he could do neither. Something grabbed his foot, and he twisted to see that he was being pulled toward the center of the array. His blood mingled with that of the others, filling the scored lines engraved in the floor. Alchemy pushed it onwards, painting the array in gruesome scarlet as the woman took up her place in a smaller adjoining circle.
Don't die yet, Full Metal, she smiled. I need you alive for just a few more minutes.
The flow from the deep wound in his neck had turned sluggish, and he was oblivious to everything but the single-minded battle to take the next breath. In the end, it seemed that it did not matter which alchemist lay in her web, but Ed's mind lingered on one grateful thought. Roy was safe in Central Command. He would never have to know that it could have been him in Ed's place.